This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. The Capitals are out west over in Canada, Western Canada. But we still got the home base here in, Maryland, D.C., that whole area. We got you settled down. We're going to talk some Caps hockey. Joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
Doing real good. Got to start off the show. Big thank you. Shout out to Section 328 for having us on last week. I hope you guys checked that out before the Carolina game. Those guys were pretty cool. It was nice to hear the fans that aren't really Caps fans. It was good to talk to them about that upcoming game.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We've never done that before, so those guys are very cool. It was a lot of fun to go and just kind of chat with them about the Caps and hockey and stuff. It was good. It was a good time.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll come on our podcast when Carolina and the
Caps. When's it? December?
I think it's in like the week before Christmas.
Yeah, something like that. We were talking about having them come on.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll be on here since we were on their show. You know, a little give and take there. But real cool guys. Glad we got to talk to them, and glad we got to beat the Hurricanes. It's been a good week to be a Caps fan. You know, last week it was funny. You and I were doing the show, and we're kind of like, is this the Caps of old? Has anything really changed? What's going on? And whatever Barry Trotz has been doing, you know, benching Ovechkin, having practice and early, you know, whatever he's been doing to these guys, it's working because these guys have 3 wins in the past week, and they've all been pretty decisive. I've been very impressed with what this Caps team has been doing. They finally think, I feel as if they've got a groove going on.
Yeah, it's been outside of the loss to San Jose. They have not scored less than 4 goals in any of their games.
Papa John's has to be really ticked off about that.
They're just throwing pizza away. No, I think the team's played very well. Now, some of it we need to relax because they played a bad New Jersey team, a not-so-good Carolina team, and a pretty bad Calgary team. Yes, they played well last season, but they don't have a goaltender to save their life this season.
True.
The only real win that was sort of not a statement, but sort of like a legitimate, like, oh, all right, well, that's pretty interesting kind of a win, is the one against Chicago, which they came out and played very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the team's been looking good so far. A lot of things are going their way, no question about that. You know, they've had some errors here and there and some plays that weren't so great, but those things are going to happen. And as long as it's not costing them too much in the end, then it, you know, I think the fans are happy. I think they're happy with what they've been doing. They certainly have things they can work on. The power play has been going, you know, decently, and PK could probably be a little bit better. But other than that, they've been doing well.
Yeah, and the best part is we talked about this before the season started about how this was the most well-rounded Capitals team. You're really seeing that now because Nicholas Backstrom also came back to the lineup, and really you've got 4 lines of offense that all of them seem to be clicking so well. It's kind of interesting to see Backstrom on that second line, but why break up the Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Oshie line when it's doing so well? But all 4 lines on this hockey team playing very well, looking very good, definitely all working together. I mean, really, you can expect a goal from any line that's out on the ice.
Well, I don't know if the 4th line has been chipping in very much offensively, but they are playing well. And it seems like Trotz is definitely rolling 4 lines, which I think is a good thing for the team in the end, because nobody is being overworked.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's scoring. I think you have 2 legitimate goal-scoring lines in your 1st and 2nd line, because Kuznetsov is playing out of his mind. He's been great. And that ridiculous pass that he's been doing is working, and it worked real great with that goal for Burakovsky against Calgary. So I thought... I think that Kuznetsov has been great, and it doesn't seem like he may be getting bumped out of that first line spot anytime soon. And I don't think Backstrom's necessarily going to care because he's doing great things with Johansson and Williams.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great thing to see. Burakovsky's goal in Calgary, that was from a backwards pass from Kuznetsov, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
just his little behind the net slick pass.
Yeah, so I mean, Burakovsky, even though he is on the 4th line, and I'd like to point out that I brought up that's where he would be.
He struggled to start the season.
Yeah,
he's going to get better, but he struggled.
Just pointing that out. But him and Kuznetsov working well together, even though they're not normally on the same line, at least to start off this season. But very well, playing very well together. And did you hear, who was it? Was it Craig Laughlin? He was bringing up that the Ovi Kuznetsov Oshie line should be called TKO. Line
no,
TKO.
Someone sent that to him on Twitter.
Oh, so he's not as original as...
It wasn't his... No, someone else came up with that.
Okay. That's a good line name. I like that.
I like it.
It sounds like, you know, they're on a like a UFC fight or something. It's pretty cool.
Well, let's not go there. Let's not... They're not beating people up. Just, you know, beating them up emotionally by scoring goals.
Beating them up emotionally. That's bully. That's like bully stuff on the middle school playground type of thing. Beating people up emotionally. But
okay with that.
Yeah. let's talk a little bit about Holpe. Holpe's been playing really well, but there was that little incident in the Carolina game. He lost his lid, and there was no ref stoppage or anything, and then a shot rings off towards him. And
yeah,
he just,
Justin Falk takes a shot, and Holpe goes into the fetal position.
He just ducks and covers.
I get the need to cover your face, but the fetal position is very, like, completely unnecessary.
Well, I mean, that's
you're the goalie. You're wearing pads. Just cover your face.
Well, you know, that Holpe's got to cover his face. That's where the money's being made, know?
All right, sure. But... I understand the need to cover your face. Clearly, that needs to happen. This is not the NHL of old. Guys don't play without masks. You know, careers are important. And you, in order to have a career, you need to have a face. But to go into the fetal position was a little much.
I mean, I don't know. That's where all the pads are and everything. So you got to cover up as much as possible, I guess. And
okay, he didn't bring his legs up to cover his face. That would have been impressive, though. You'd have been... like legit flexible or whatever. He can be a gymnast if he can get the pads up covering his face. But he kind of did a good job covering his face. But then it seemed like he got knocked off. He looked up, he saw Falk wind up and was like, oh God.
And did you see the look on his face after that shot rang off? Like I literally thought that he was going to murder that guy.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure he wasn't thrilled with the fact that you took the shot, but I think everything was cool because he took the shot and then he was like, oh my God, my bad. Like, totally made a mistake.
Yeah, well, I mean, his head was down. He had no idea what was going on with Holpe. He was just trying to ring off a shot. I don't think Falk's at fault at all for what he did. He was just playing. And I blame the refs for Falk taking that shot because the refs didn't stop the play after they saw Holpe's helmet wasn't on anymore. They should have whistled it a little bit quicker than they did.
Oh, no question. The referees definitely should stop the play. Anytime a goalie's mask pops off like that, you should stop the play.
And that happened in the Calgary game as well.
Which they then blew the whistle, so they learned their lesson. Or the other referees are smarter than those guys.
But what's going on with Holpe's mask? Why is it continually falling off now? Like,
he's got to get some new straps for it or something.
Yeah, like, did this equipment manager need to tighten that baby up a little bit more or what? I mean,
I think the teams are playing physical in front of him, and he keeps getting bumped, and someone ends up knocking it. I didn't see as to which players necessarily knocked it off, whether it was a Capital or a Calgary guy or a Carolina player. But, you know, teams are playing physical in front of him, and if you keep bumping him and coming across the crease and things like that, if Holpe comes out a little bit, then it's going to get bumped.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the guys that aren't on the ice. You know, we have Nate Schmidt and Michael Latta sitting right now, and we have Taylor Chorney and Chandler Stephenson playing in their place. How do you think these two guys are doing? Taylor, of course, he kind of knows he's the seventh defenseman. He's always going to be fighting for a spot. Stephenson was brought up from Hershey, and of course, he impressed Barry Trotz in training camp in the preseason as well. So what's your thought on these two guys playing and having Latta and Schmidt sitting?
I like Stephenson. I like what I've seen from him. I think he's played well in the fourth line as a center. He's in there. He almost had a nice goal the other night, and they tried to get him one of the power play at the end of the game, but it didn't work out. But I like what I've seen from him. I think he's done fine in the fourth line with Like and who am I forgetting they're on the line with? Like Stephenson, and why are we blanking on this?
Galiev?
Oh, Burakovsky.
Burakovsky, that's right. Oh, Galiev's also sitting. That's true.
Well, yeah, but that made sense. He's going to go down to Hershey pretty soon. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, I completely forgot about him.
Nice, Brandon. Rude. No, you know, they've done well. The fourth line's been fine. They haven't really scored any goals, but the guys are, you know, they're doing well. They're cycling the puck, moving things around. They're doing fine. In regards to Taylor Chorney, Schmidt was not playing very well. Chorney's been better, I guess, kind of, but he's not necessarily – I don't think he's a drastic upgrade. And that third pairing has looked decent times, and other times they've looked kind of scary. They've been a little bit of a concern for me. Yeah, I don't think it's a huge worry at the moment, but I think it's something they're definitely going to look to improve, either at the trading deadline or beforehand, provided they have the cap space available. But I definitely think that third pairing can get better. You know, Orlov's still working his way back, and he's had some great moments, and then he's had some suspect moments. And Schmidt, Chorney, I don't know if these guys are necessarily the answer long-term at these positions. And if you have to go out and acquire a guy to play on that third pairing, you may need to do that.
It possibly, but the other guys that are on defense, you know, they've been playing really, really well. Alan May brought up the fact after the last game how well Carl Alsner and Matt Niskanen are working together and how well that pair is doing. And, I mean, to get the Alan May seal of approval is a big deal, but I've been impressed with what the other two pairings have done. I think the defense has been solid. They've been giving Holpe a lot of support, except for, you know, that Sharks game. But overall, everybody on this team is really doing well. Holpe, defense, offense, everybody's doing their part.
Yeah, I mean, the team's been playing great. Everyone's sort of chipping in. Ovechkin maybe a little too much in terms of his antics during the, coming out for the second period.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. For people that don't know and haven't seen it.
Well, before we give Ovechkin a hard time, let's say congratulations to him on getting to 900 career NHL points.
That's true.
That's an incredibly impressive feat.
In his 30th year of being alive. And
yes.
I mean, that's he did it pretty quickly. So, I mean, congrats to him on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's very impressive to get that many points, but we can now talk about the other stupid thing that he's doing.
So he ticked off a lot of people in Calgary. Of course, he's the Russian guy. Canada's not a real big fan of him anyway. But before the second period, or was it the second intermission?
I think it was before the second period, like as they were coming out to skate for the second period.
Right, okay, yeah, because it was like 30 seconds before he got his goal there. So everybody's skating around in their own end, and Ovechkin then skates to the opposite side of the ice where Calgary is warming up, and he kind of pretends to be stick handling and then pretends to shoot a goal into the goal and then skates back to the other side, ticking off a lot of people that you're going into sort of enemy territory and you're messing with their warm-up. So a lot of people are ticked off at Ovechkin for it. I don't know how big of a deal it is, but obviously it ticked off a lot of people. I don't think he meant anything by it. He's always chirping at other goalies and things like that to kind of get in their heads, but maybe that's not the best idea, especially when you're the visiting team. If you're in Verizon Center, maybe that's one thing, but to be in Calgary, maybe it's not the best idea to go to the other end of the rink there.
Yeah, maybe not. No, I mean, I don't think it's the end of the world, but it's definitely kind of a dick move on his part, and he probably shouldn't do that. It's a little rude. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did it against a team that, you know, took a run at him in another game or something like that. So, I saw some guy on Twitter saying that he does it all the time, which then makes me surprised that no one's taken a run at him. But, you know.
Well, maybe maybe the fans are the ones that are ticked off. Maybe the NHL players really don't care.
I don't know. I mean, apparently the Calgary guys in their broadcast were talking about, their TV guys were talking about how it was not cool and that they think he should get a penalty or something, you know.
Well, like, it's an unwritten rule. There is no real rule, like, stay on your side of the rink or whatever. So I don't know if he'd get a
true,
penalty
I guess
or something
yeah.
like that. I mean, it's just like a sign of respect, I guess. Unwritten rule of hockey, stay on your end as the other team is warming up.
Yeah, which means he's being a douche.
And we've seen
stay on your side.
We've seen Capitals do this in the past. You remember last year, Tom Wilson went up to Malkin and just kind of gave him a little like playful shove, but Malkin did not find it funny at all before the start of the game.
Do you remember? Vaguely.
Yeah. So I mean, they've done this. I mean, they've gotten on that side of the ice before, kind of like egging on the other.
But that's
team.
Different. Like you're going in like a guy who's your friend.
Right. Yeah.
And you're going. It's like when. The San Jose game, didn't Chimera go up and like hit him or something to Joel Ward?
I think so, yeah.
So yeah, it's like it's a little tapper, you know, they're goofing around kind of a thing before the game, not the end of the world. But to go in and pretend to score a goal on the other team's goalie during the warming up before the next period is, I don't know, just kind of rude.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't help the whole argument of people talking about Ovechkin, how he's, you know, the Canadian media, for the most part, says one thing or another about him. And so for him to sort of add to their sort of agenda is not helpful.
Yeah. Do you remember? I guess it was the playoffs. It was Caps against the Canadiens, and they had a bunch of kids with flags and everything leading up to the bench, and Ovechkin kind of put the brakes on, and you know it pretty much snowed on one of the little kids.
And then, well, that kid loved it, and they all yelled at him.
Yeah, and like they yelled at Ovi, being like, "How can you do that to a child?" But really, that kid's probably just like, "Oh, one of the best players in the world just snowed on me a little bit." That was awesome.
Yeah, it was like on his like leg or something. Like it was not the end of the world.
Yeah,
it wasn't like the kid was in mortal danger.
I think this whole Ovechkin Calgary thing is probably going to get blown out of proportion, but at the same time, Ovi's got to be a little respectful of being in other rinks. And I mean, he was definitely like, you know, channeling like, all right, this is what I'm going to do the next time I get down the ice. But maybe do that
just score a goal. I would hope so.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he did.
I think after 900 points, he doesn't have to worry about figuring out how to score goals.
Maybe you come out before both teams get out on the ice, and you just kind of do your thing, going down the ice and going.
I mean, if it's not, if the other teams don't care, then it's fine. But if they care, then he should probably stop. Because I mean, reverse it. If some team did that to the Caps, we would be like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's dumb.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what...
He's an idiot. Let's move on to somebody else. Shall we talk about Nicholas Backstrom?
All right, let's talk about Backy.
Nicky B's back!
Nicky B is back, and it's as if he never left. It's as if he's...
I know, he scored a goal in his first game. It was a little bit of a weak goal. You know, the goaltender, Cam Ward, definitely should have stopped that one. But whatever, he scored. He's scoring goals. He's doing well on the second line with Johansson and Williams. We got two Swedes and an American. Hey, wait, is Williams an American or is he Canadian?
He's Canadian.
Two Swedes and a North American. There we go. Cover my bases. did you see that he was voted as the most underrated player by the – I'm sorry, in the NHL. It was by 27 other NHL players voted him. The survey was done by Puck Daddy, which I thought was interesting. And I find it hard to disagree. He's incredibly underrated.
Oh, 100%. Well, when you have that giant Ovechkin shadow on your team.
Yeah, and I think he wants it that way. He wants to be in the shadow of the other guys. He doesn't want all the focus on him. So I think that's, I mean, it's fine with me. And I'm sure it's fine with Ovechkin. But I think Backstrom's perfectly happy. He's going out there and playing hockey and not having to worry about all the other stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. He definitely is underrated. A lot of people don't sing his praises as much as they should. I mean, the guy has never been in an all-star game. Think about that. And Ovechkin's been there almost every year. And he definitely deserves every accolade he can get, Backstrom. But like you said, he's kind of like a low-key guy. He doesn't like being in the spotlight too much. And as long as he's, you know, doing his job and doing everything he should at the best of his ability, like we'll always enjoy it. But it's kind of crazy to think that the NHL is kind of just catching on about how good he is.
Well, I'm sure the NHL knows. But it's I find it interesting that the given it was only 27 players in a league that has who knows how many, you know. But that these guys know that he's so good. And that no one's talking about him. So I'm sure, you know, I'm sure someone went and told him. And he was like, oh, that's, you know, nice of them to say.
He's like, they're on to me.
Like, oh, no. they figured me out. Now, honestly, he was probably like, oh, thanks, guys. And then went about doing his, you know, Backstrom thing.
Backstrom doing Backstrom things, you know.
Backstrom doing Backstrom stuff.
Which is centering the second line. Scoring goals.
Apparently. I mean, I'm sure at some point he'll go back to the first line. Oh, yeah.
I mean, games in. I mean, there's plenty of hockey to be left to play.
And he'll still be very good.
Yeah, 100%. He'll be awesome, as always. But it's good to see that. I was very scared because a hip surgery of any kind is hard to come back to and be your old self. I mean, a hip is... That's a big injury. That's depending on the severity of it. It could be a career ending injury or whatever. But obviously Backstrom did his work on the off season. He did what he had to do to get back into playing shape and still have all that skill that he has. It really doesn't look like he's like skipped a beat at all. He hasn't missed a step coming back. I mean, he's looked better than ever. You think this guy would have actually, slow down a little bit, but no,
he's not had no time for that.
He's just as quick. He's just as good. He's Nick Backstrom.
Ain't got no time for slowing down. He's got places to be, things to do, goals to create.
Score.
Well, no. Well, I mean, he is now. He's suddenly a goal scorer.
Yeah.
which has been I'm okay with that. No, but I mean, look at this. He's made some fantastic passes. He's setting up Oshie for great goals, trying to set up Ovechkin as usual. No, I think he's been great. I think he's looked like he didn't have an entire offseason of, you know, recovering from hip surgery and all kinds of stuff. He looks like he's exactly where he should be and doing the usual thing. And I think that's exactly what the team needs. They need consistency, and they're getting it right now.
Absolutely. And before we leave Caps world, the only line we haven't really talked about is the third line. And that's Likes on the fourth. It's Chimera, Beagle, and Wilson. And as everybody else is scoring goals and everything, this line has been solid as well. I mean, Chimera, Wilson, Beagle, they seem to be a great unit, doing exactly what they're supposed to do out there. Chimera, I think he got a goal or two in Calgary. I mean, everybody was scoring in Calgary. But the third line.
Well, that's true.
The third line, solid as well. Wilson's really coming into his own. I think he's being smarter on the ice. Jay Beagle, always great, always awesome. He's doing his job. And Chimera, I mean, talk about somebody who doesn't look like he's slowed down at all. I think he hasn't slowed down a bit, and he's being able to keep up with Tom Wilson, this young guy. So the third line is
Chimera had a nice goal.
Yeah, Chimera's looked awesome this season. I think he's kind of like the heart and soul of this team right now. You know, he's one of the
let's not go that far.
He's one of the older guys, and he's the one that, you know, if he kind of wears his heart on his sleeve. If he's angry, you know he's angry. If he's happy, you know he's happy. And I think the other guys kind of feed off of that. He's going to be a very good mentor to Tom Wilson on this line.
I agree. I mean, I like Wilson's looked a little bit better offensively than he has in the past. He hasn't scored, you know, yet, but he's looking like he's getting some better opportunities. And the third line's been doing a great job shutting down other teams' top lines. They're doing what they need to do. The team's running well right now. We'll see how they do throughout the rest of this Western Canada road swing. Why are they out? There's like a horse show.
What?
There's a horse show at Verizon Center, I believe.
Okay. You see, now that sounds like something from Western Canada.
Oh, because, yeah, in Calgary they have the Stampede?
The Stampede, yeah. It's a Calgary Stampede, and that's a Saddle Dome. I mean, that's where the whole thing comes from. I mean,
yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Well, if Coach, if you wanna take your hand at horse training, I guess you know where to go. Buy a horse.
No, I've been to Calgary. It's okay.
You've been to Calgary, really?
I have been to Calgary.
Oh man, I would love to go to Calgary. I have never been there before. Okay. I mean, you're not a big wrestling fan. Me being a huge wrestling fan that I am, to go to Calgary, where, you know, the Hart family came from, to see the Hart House, which is now a historical site in Calgary, to maybe go to a Hitman game, which that's where they got their name from, Bret Hitman Hart. That's why the Calgary Hitmen are a team named after them. Oh, man, I would love to go to Calgary. That's like a dream trip for me.
It's a nice town. No question about it. Very nice city. They have a cool... I'm sure you can find this on my Facebook page or whatever. There's pictures. I went with my girlfriend years ago. Went to Vancouver, and then went from Vancouver to Calgary with stops along the way. Vancouver, we liked a lot better. Not the point.
I've been to Vancouver. Beautiful Vancouver's city. Great. My gosh.
But Calgary has a tower you can go up in, and they have the like glass floor.
Yeah.
So you can like stand. It's glass. Like I'm sitting there. I'm standing there going, okay, I know it's glass. I know I'm not going to fall. But you're still like...
Don't like
so
it.
So uncomfortable standing on it. It's very weird. But yes, back to the Washington Capitals, the reason we're having this podcast.
Isn't traveling around Canada.
Yes. See, Traveler's Podcast with Brandon and Dan. Yeah, they finished the road, so we'll see how they do against Vancouver and Edmonton, and then they come back next week to play the Penguins, and you know, they got some tests coming up, and we'll see how they do. But no, I mean it's a very good start, but we've seen that. Was it one of Boudreaux's years that started out great? They were like 10-1, and then just like freaking. I think it was the year Boudreaux got fired.
Yeah,
and they crashed and freaking burned.
Oh yeah, I think it was they didn't have any losses in the entire month of October, if I'm remembering that correctly. It was last year.
A great start, and then just like freaking buried the team.
Yeah, I remember that year.
And then Hunter came in and got them in the playoffs.
And they're like, hey, defense. We're all about defense. Are you sure? Because you got this really big goal score. No, we're going to have him block shots.
I'm fine with him blocking as long as he doesn't get hurt, but that's not the point. Hunter had the right idea defensively, and that was about it. His offense didn't exist.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
No.
That's it?
That's pretty much it. I mean, Ovechkin got 900 career NHL points, which is awesome. Backstrom's back. The team's rolling very well. I don't think I'll be able to watch much of the game on Thursday because it's 10 o'clock and I don't got time for that. I got sleep to get to. Got to be up in the morning. That's all right. You know, that's fine.
That reminds me of one of the people that listens to my Ravens podcast, The Call, also free on iTunes. He was going to one of the games the last couple weeks, and he tweeted. He's a dude from Ohio. He tweeted Josh and I, and they're like, "Hey, you guys are going to tailgate before the game? Can we meet up with you? We'd love to meet you guys. We love the podcast." And Josh is like, "Oh yeah, I'll be there bright and early. It's going to be great." And I said, "No, I won't be there." And they're like, "What's the matter? Why aren't you tailgating?" And I'm just like, I like sleep way too much to do that.
Yeah, I got a bed and it's very comfortable and I will be unconscious. It'll be great. No, I don't know. It's too late. But I like that they're getting the Western Canadian road swing out of the way early.
Yeah, they've been doing that the last couple of years. But anything else we should cover in Caps World? Are we good?
We're good. That's pretty much it. I mean, team's doing well. There's not too much to talk about when they're doing well.
I know. That's the
I'm okay with that.
The double-edged sword. Great for the team, not so great for the podcast, because then we talk about traveling around Canada with our limited
time. We can go back to that. I mean, yeah. No, Calgary's cool, but I like Vancouver better.
All right, so next up, we're going to go down on the farm. But before we do, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Fuck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going to talk about the Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, he cleared waivers. What's going on down on the farm?
What?
You know, you were in the NHL.
I got it. I cleared waivers, huh? That's better than not having to be put on waivers, I guess. But it also kind of is bad because I got cut. Anyways.
At least I didn't call you like some sort of farming equipment.
All right, moving on. In the past week, Hershey went 0-2 with losses, both of them being to Portland. The Bears are back at it on Friday in Utica, followed by their home opener on Saturday against Hartford, followed by another home game on Sunday, which is also against Hartford. It's very nice for them.
This poor guy is not even opening up, haven't even been home yet.
Yeah, they played, what, three games? Four games.
Four games, yeah.
Before they'll have their first home game. Meanwhile, down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-1 since we last talked, with a win and a loss to Reading, I don't care. They are back at it with back-to-back-to-back games this weekend. I didn't say that wrong. That's three games in a row. They're on the road on Friday in Greenville, followed by back-to-back home games against Greenville and Atlanta.
Nice.
That's what's going on down on the farm. I didn't know Atlanta had an ECHL team.
I guess maybe they just got one after that AHL, I saw that and I was ECHL like, thing. You know,
no, it's the Gwinnett Gladiators are now the Atlanta Gladiators.
Oh, all right. I don't know if you saw this or not, but I thought this was pretty cool. At I think it was the South Carolina opener. They invited some families from that church shooting that happened.
Oh, yes, yes. Jerseys were specially made for that event.
Yeah.
For that game.
And so it says Charleston Strong.
Yeah.
On the bottom, they auction them off and raise money to go towards that family, which I thought was awesome. I mean, it's one of the great things that sports teams can do to kind of help raise money for the community and to welcome these families in. I mean, going through something like that, just a terrible incident, but Stingrays doing their thing for the community. Really awesome. And I don't know if you saw this as well, but the Hershey Bears, Jacob Verana had his first regular season gold last weekend.
Oh, congratulations to the kid. Nicely done.
Yeah, so,
I did not see.
Yeah, he tied up the game 2-2. I'm just reading from one of their the Chocolate Hockey's Twitter account. But Verana's first regular season goal, he's over here in the AHL, over in America. So maybe we'll see him in a year or two playing up in the big leagues. But already getting his first regular season goal, so good for him.
Yeah, hopefully see the kid playing the Caps in the, next year or two?
2017.
Year or two? Maybe not that early. Well, you can replace Johansson.
Hey, you know, maybe. All right, so that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. Plenty of stuff going on around the NHL. We are recording this on Wednesday night, rivalry night, the night you love to hate. That's what they're telling us. And
only when the Caps play.
And it's
God, they have to play against the Penguins on rivalry night. Well, that's a loss.
How did you figure that out? I mean, come on.
Jesus Christ.
All right, well, here we go. Coach Dan, tell us what's going on around the NHL.
Oh, where shall we begin? Oh, I know. Let's start in Columbus. They have fired their head coach, Todd Richards, after an 0-7 start and hired former Vancouver, New York Ranger, and Tampa Bay head coach and crazy person, John Tortorella. He's back.
Yeah, and you also left out current Team USA coach for the World Cup.
I wonder if that's going to change.
Maybe.
Now that he has a day job.
I would assume.
Oh, he's insane. Anyways, Montreal and forward Tomas Plekanec agreed to a two-year extension worth a reported total of $12 million. Chicago signed defenseman Kyle Komiski to a one-year deal. Terms were not disclosed. And it wouldn't be a week in the NHL without some suspensions, as Colorado defenseman Tyson Barrie was suspended for 3 games for charging and interfering with Anaheim defenseman Simon Dupre. I think that's like 3 weeks in a row we've talked about Simon Dupre for one reason or another. Guys have shown up on the show. Let's see. Tampa Bay defenseman Nikita Nesterov was suspended for 2 games for boarding Dallas forward Curtis McKenzie. New Jersey's Jordan Tutu was fined $2,217.74. Got to get them quarters. almost quarters. Then like a nickel, a couple of dimes. I don't know. Anyways, the maximum allowed under the CBA for a dangerous trip of Nashville defenseman Seth Jones. Don't be hurting Seth Jones. We're going to need him on Team USA in the next Olympics. Former Capital, Flame, Oiler, Blue Jacket, and Duck Curtis Glenkos has reportedly decided to retire. The trade deadline acquisition for the Caps had tryout offers with Toronto and Colorado during the preseason, but did not get any contracts from either team. He reportedly does not want to play in the KHL or Europe, as he has young kids and does not want to move them. In his career, Glenkos scored 134 goals and 275 points in 507 games. He's also undrafted, so that's pretty impressive.
Wow, career, really? I didn't know that.
In the NHL, yeah, apparently. And finally, longtime NHL veteran referee Mark Joannette reffed his 1,000th NHL game this past Saturday between Montreal and Detroit. So even though he's a referee, congratulations to him. That's the past week in the NHL.
Did they give him anything for it, or were they just kind of like, hey, did you know this is an anniversary game for you?
I'm sure they gave him something. Yeah, usually you get like a plaque with some pictures on it, and like both captains probably came out and the fans booed him when they came out, and that, you know, usual.
Yeah, I think
usual thing.
I think I went to Knubel's 1,000th game, and he got
I was at that one too.
He got a silver stick, if I remember correctly.
Or no, wait, was that? Maybe I just watched it on TV. I don't know. I have to look.
But, yeah, so I was just wondering if they gave him, you know, if they gave Knubel a
stick. Oh, no, it wasn't him. It was Arnott. It wasn't 1,000th game. It was some sort of number.
Yeah. So I was wondering if they gave that ref, you know, like, here's a gold skate or.
Oh, I don't know.
Here's your
shirt. He got something before he then got booed.
Yeah.
That's true. As they do.
Right. All right, so that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Good mood all around, guys. Good mood all around, given the fact the Capitals are doing well.
High fives, everyone. High fives.
All right. Good game, guys. Good game.
Well
done. All right, so here's what's coming up until we talk again. Thursday, October 22nd, the Capitals are in Vancouver, that beautiful city that Coach Dan and I are talking about. They are up against the Canucks. That game is at 10 o'clock. Here at home.
I will be sleeping.
I'll watch it.
At 10 o'clock. That's way too early.
I'll wake up at 2 in the morning realizing that I slept on the couch and fell asleep during the game. That's what's going to happen. And I'm going to wake up and wonder if they won or not. So somebody tweet me and let me know. That game's, again, 10 o'clock. You can watch it on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Friday, it's double duty. October 23rd, the Capitals are in Edmonton up against the Oilers facing old Matty Hendricks, old wagon. He is him and the Oilers. You can see them on Comcast Sportsnet, and that game is at 9 o'clock. Now, next week, guys, we already kind of teased it on Wednesday, October 26th. It's a six, right? That's an eight. Man, I'm getting old. I can't read
six
that.
Six is the one. Six comes before seven.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't read.
Hey, man, I'm here for you.
That's how old I am. I can't read my computer screen. I had to get closer. Wednesday, October 28th, the Capitals are back at home in D.C. welcoming those pesky Penguins. That game is at 8 o'clock and will be on exactly NBC Sports for Wednesday night, rivalry night. So everyone nationwide can see us. So what are we going to do? What's going to happen, Coach? You know, these are going to be some good games to see, but of course, Caps-Penguins, always a big one. Last year, we could have gone 4-0, but the Caps fell asleep during that last game and went 3-1. Are the Capitals going to be able to do that again? What are they going to look like up against the Penguins?
Well, I mean, the Penguins have a lot of offense. You have to be careful. Defense is going to have to be on their game. The offense is going to have to show up. They have solid goaltending. Defense for the Penguins has been, I have no idea, decent, so... I think if they're able to go out and beat Chicago, they definitely have a chance to beat the Penguins. I got faith. They had a good start to the season. They have the 4 days off makes me a little hesitant. I think that's going to make them. They're gonna come out a little sluggish, but as long as they get through the first like 10 minutes or so, then they'll be all right.
Sounds good. And since that game is on Wednesday night, the 28th, you guys know what that means, right? We can't record on that night because we're going to be watching the game. So definitely stick with our Facebook and Twitter. We'll probably be recording. I think it's on Thursday, the 29th. So that would mean you guys would get the show late that night or early the next morning.
You just have to wait.
That's right. October. October 30th is when you'll have to wait for us. So we'll record that on the 29th. So just wait a day or so, and a new podcast will be out. We're not going anywhere. Don't worry, guys. We're not going to abandon you. Not until the holidays. That's when we'll abandon you. But anyway, if you want to continue the conversation, talk to Coach Dan or I. We are both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash, and we'd love to talk puck with anybody out there. So make sure you tweet to us. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also occasionally find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which I'm sure they're not giving out any because they don't give out any promotions, apparently.
Nothing.
So thanks. I haven't seen a schedule. Have you on the Caps website?
There is no promotional schedule. They're not
They didn't put it out last year, even though they had promotions. So why is there – all right, their website's like flipping out on me.
It looks scrunched.
They can probably hear me complaining.
Does it look all scrunched up?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine too.
All right, good. So it's not just me. Good to know. Anyways, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about this podcast, all the other podcasts we do, as well as photos and videos that we produce as well. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash whenever a new show comes out, whether it be What the Puck or The Call or anything else that we might come up with to do a podcast about, because Coach Dan and I have been talking about doing a Walking Dead podcast, and this season has been good.
We should do it.
This season's been real good.
All right, when are we recording it?
I don't know. I don't know. Cause
are we doing the whole end of the show Walking Dead thing?
We should, shouldn't we?
Yeah, but probably not tonight because I'm getting yelled at to come eat dinner.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, I'll just say this. Last episode, one of in my top five.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
Top five favorite episodes. God, that was amazing.
When that dude came out, if anyone has not watched Walking Dead yet.
Spoilers.
Turn off the podcast now. You've been warned. when she's like smoking outside and I'm like, oh, all right, Carol's going to go out and like bitch at her or something. And then the dude comes, he's like, and then I was like, oh snap, what just happened? This took a turn.
I kind of had the same thing. Cause like when we started off with Enid and then they're kind of going through the Alexandria stuff, I'm like, oh, you know, I'll go check Twitter. This is kind of like a bottle episode. We had the big one last week and this one's just going to be filler. And then boom, that guy hits.
Oh, people are getting killed.
And I'm like, oh no. Oh, something's going on. And man, that was a wicked episode. Great episode. Anyway. So we might be doing a podcast about that, about other stuff. Who knows? But check us out, Facebook.com/BrandoCash. You'll know, and you can subscribe whenever that happens. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us over there, as well as on Twitter at WTP_podcast. We're constantly sharing cool articles, photos, maybe a video or two, but that'll also be a good place to get information about the podcast as well. So, like we've always said, this show is free. You guys stream it, you download it, you listen to it completely for free. Coach Dan and I, we get paid nothing to do this. We do this for it because it's fun and we enjoy it and all that good stuff. There are no ads at all on this podcast. So if you guys enjoy it, if you guys like the Caps, do us a favor, spread the word about our show so we can get even more numbers out there and we can get more people interested in the Capitals. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. We are wherever podcasts are available. And we need you guys to go on social media and tell people about it. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and every other social media platform out there, because there's like a zillion of them now. Maybe some I don't even know about. Let people know about What the Puck. And if you could kindly tell John Walton and the Caps Radio Network that there's a fan podcast out there that they should have on their radio network, we would greatly appreciate it, because we would love
to. That would be cool.
We'd love to be a part of that Caps family. Two fans getting like a half hour of their time. I think it'd be awesome. But anyway, that's pretty much it for the show this week. Like we said, we're finishing up that Western Canada road trip. Bring home your Tim Hortons. That's the only place you can get it, eh? And then get ready for the Penguins next Wednesday. We'll talk to you guys next week. And until we speak again, everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.